Clap. Clap for me.
Okay.
Good okay. Clap for me. And again. Okay, that was very quiet. Do a bit further away from your mic. It's literally like the first one was like, and the last one was like.
Ready?
Yeah. That's better. Right.
Boom.
Hello, hello. This is Interneted. I'm Michael Bird.
And I'm Rob Murgatroyd.
And welcome to our show about tech, gadgets, and the internet by a couple of blokes who are always being asked how to fix most of it. Isn't that right, Rob?
That's absolutely right, Michael. On this show, we'll be sharing our tech knowledge and keeping you informed with all the latest tech news and updates from around the internet. We'll also be opening a brand new case at our Agony Uncles Detective Agency, Solving Your Tech Woes. And finally, we'll head over to the Museum of Retro Tech, where we'll be taking a look at some of the biggest moments in gadget history.
So buckle up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. From two blokes on our actual spare bedrooms, this is Interneted. Interneted. The show's called Interneted, just to clarify. Good.
I love that. Dropping all the T's, internet. What?
Well, like, it was so smooth up to that point when I got the name, the most crucial part wrong, the name of the show.
That's fine. We'll move on. I think it's time to start the show. So in this part, we'll be bringing the most interesting bits of news from around the world of tech, sifting through the water-powered clocks, eye-controlled arcade machines, and jacket computers, so you don't have to.
I like jacket computers.
It was something, I think it was a collaboration between Google and Levi Jeans.
Ooh, yes.
Who actually made a jacket for bikers so that you could control bikers, cyclists. You can control your music and dial people's phone numbers through like the sleeve of the jacket.
Yeah, you know what? I was looking at ski jackets a few years ago, and there are ski jackets that have like controls on the arm.
So cool.
So you put your headphones in and you're like,
the future is now.
The future is now. And your listeners, you're tuning into the right place. You're tuning into it, whatever I call it. All right.
Should we jump into it? Michael, what have you seen this week?
Yes, please. Okay, so Rob, you know who Intel are, don't you?
I've heard of them. Yes.
Who are they? Who are Intel?
Intel are a large chip manufacturer bringing fries to the nation.
So Intel are, I think they're the world's biggest chip manufacturer. They're famous for making CPUs, aren't they? So the part of your computer that does all of the processing and the thinking and like the brain of your computer. And up until very recently, Intel were supplying processors to Apple for their desktops and laptops. And they were the same processors that you would find in Windows computers. Mm-hmm. The challenge Apple was having with Intel processors was that they were running quite hot, and Apple were pushing them more and more and more and wanted to do more with these processors and keep their laptops as thin as possible with as fewer fans in as possible. And as Rob, you probably know this, but listeners, you may not know, the hotter the processor runs, the less efficient it is and the slower it is at doing processing. So my Mac that I have next to me, when it's doing anything heavy, its fans are going at about 100 miles an hour. And that is what Apple wants to avoid. So Apple very recently have gone out on their own and they have developed the M1 chips, the Apple Mac chips. And they have left Intel, or at least they're going to. They still actually sell some laptops that have Intel processors. But eventually, by the end of the year, they will not be selling Intel processors anymore in any of their computers, so they say. Mm. Now, a few years ago, about 10 or 15 years ago, Apple very famously did a I'm a Mac, I'm a PC ad that you may have seen.
Oh, yeah.
And it had
a cracking advert.
America, I think it had David Mitchell and somebody in the UK.
Robert Webb.
I think it may have done, actually. Mitchell and Webb.
Yeah.
In America, they had a guy called Justin Long, who was a famous actor, and he was the person who played the Mac character. Intel have got Justin back, and they're basically doing a similar advert, and it's a little bit cringy, if I'm honest. It's a bit of a weird one.
Is it just Justin just it's
basically
about
Justin
Apple
comparing computers? It's a bit strange.
Yeah. Is it a bit like as if I don't know, HSBC had brought Howard from Halifax over to their side?
That is the exact way I would explain it. It's a bit strange. It's a little bit cringy. And I guess Intel probably feel a little bit under attack, and they wanted to try and claw back some fans. But I don't know if Intel need to do it, because, you know, they've got some cool stuff coming out.
It feels a little petty.
Yes.
It's a bit like digging up old dirt.
Yeah.
There's no real need for that. Just move on and just do something different. Try to out-compete rather than say, this guy that used to love Apple now loves...
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. So that was a bit strange. So that's my Intel news this week. What have you got, Rob?
So something I saw this week, I've got a few video game items, shockingly for me. So the next generation of consoles, the PlayStation 5, is getting a new era of PlayStation virtual reality controllers.
Ooh.
Which is cool, because so the previous generation, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but their controllers, imagine like a Wii remote, the old Wii remote, so that long...
Yeah, like the thing you hold in your hand, yeah.
Yeah.
You wave at the screen playing tennis.
But with a ping pong ball stuck on the end that lights up.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the old PlayStation VR controller. So it was a bit clunky, didn't really work very well, didn't look very good, just a bit rubbish. So the new generation of controllers are very different. They're almost spherical, orb-like, and you sort of put your hand in the orb.
Wow. And they haven't got bright lights on top of them.
No bright lights. It's much more classy, sleeker looking. The orb sort of wraps around your hand, and you've got these Joy-Cons, and it looks really cool. And even more impressively is that it's coming with the same sort of technology that the current PlayStation 5 controllers have. So that's adaptive triggers, better haptic feedback, and things like finger touch detection.
That's the thing where it has the triggers on the back of the controller, like you have on a lot of video game controllers.
Yeah.
But the triggers kind of pull back at you. So like if you're doing like a bowstring, it like gives you tension, so you can feel the tension.
That's the one.
It's quite cool.
That's exactly it. So that's why they're adaptive. Depending on the scenario of what the game is, it will adapt the resistance of the triggers. So
that's cool.
Yeah, like you say, with pulling a bowstring, or if you're shooting a gun or whatever, you'll feel the recoil of the gun in the triggers. It will sort of shake.
That's really cool.
So yeah, it's really cool. And I think it just adds to that level of immersion that you'll get from virtual reality. And hopefully should be much more easy to track. The old system of those big ping pong balls that would track via camera were pretty awful. So it's a good move from PlayStation. I think it shows their commitment to sticking with VR as the next big thing. I think we're still a little way off it being the mainstream, but it's things like this will really help it.
Well, I have got some news about Wikipedia. Wikipedia, the world's free encyclopedia that everyone knows and loves. The essay writing machine. They are the famously free, free to use, free for anyone to use, whether you're a company or a person or whatever. But that is maybe going to change. So they will not charge for you and I to use it, but they are thinking of launching a paid service for tech companies. So if you remember, if you've got an Alexa, or if you've got if you've got an Apple device or whatever, voice assistant, and you ask it a question, usually it trawls the facts from Wikipedia, because it's this huge, knowledge base. And what Wikipedia, or actually the Wikimedia Foundation, which is the foundation that runs Wikipedia, they're looking at creating what's called an API, which is essentially like a behind the scenes communication services for that companies can kind of do a computer to computer kind of request. They're looking at basically doing a paid for API. So companies basically have to pay to use a Wikipedia service. So like Google and Apple and Amazon and whoever would pay for it. I have mixed feelings about it, because I think the great thing about Wikipedia and Wikimedia is that it's free. And it's funded by donations. And so it doesn't Yeah,
I guess it's one of those ones where you always, whenever you go on Wikipedia, you always see that banner at the top.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It says, please provide donations.
Please donate.
I don't know if you've ever personally donated to Wikipedia. I personally haven't. You know, it is a free service. Yeah. So I guess they're getting to a point where they cannot continue that free service unless they get people to pay for it.
Yeah, so that it's an interesting one. I mean, I'm interested to see how that might develop, whether they will stand strong and not charge people, or if that may come at some point in the future. What's next?
Yeah. So something I've seen, again, another video game thing, is from the world of PlayStation once again.
Oh, yes.
And it's free stuff.
Oh, yeah, I love
everyone
stuff.
Likes free stuff.
Yep, yep, yep.
So Sony PlayStation are giving away 9 free games in April.
Oh, okay.
For everyone. It's part of their scheme called Play at Home? Stay at Home? Play at Home.
Play at Home.
So it's something...
Save lives.
Play at home. Stay at home.
Save the NHS.
Protect the NHS.
Protect the NHS. Play at home.
It's a collaboration between Boris Johnson and Sony PlayStation. No, it's not. I'm joking. So yeah, they're giving away 9 free games, including big titles. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Horizon Zero Dawn. It was a PlayStation exclusive game from 2017. Mm-hmm. Very well acclaimed, and it was a huge game, and it's given away for free. Earlier last month, they gave away a Ratchet and Clank game again for free. So I think their whole scheme is designed to keep people inside and give them something to do while lockdown is happening. So yeah. Like I say, there's 4 standard games, and there's also 4 virtual reality titles as well. So anyone that's got a VR headset will be able to play these games as well. So very nice from Sony, just giving away some free games.
So play at home, save lives. Protect the NHS. Thank you, Sonia. So, as you know, this is the definitive tech news show / show that we talk about rockets, because that
we love space nowadays. Stuff. Why not?
So, NASA, we do, yeah, of course, exactly. NASA has carried out a successful test on the world's most powerful rocket. So this is going to be for the SLS, the Space Launch System, which is NASA's mission. I think they're trying to get to the moon. I think that's the plan with it. Can't quite remember.
I've already done that.
To get to the moon again.
This time it's personal.
Moon 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Going to the other side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, going to go around. Nice. Yeah. So this was a whacking great rocket. And apparently it was the rocket from the space shuttle. The actual engines are from the space shuttle, which I thought was quite cool. So they did that this week, and that was good on them. So there we go.
It went well.
It went all right.
No, didn't blow up like Elon Musk's ones.
This is the interesting thing, right? So it wasn't actually a rocket. It was just the engines, and they put it on this like huge metal frame, which I assume is bolted down to the floor with quite big bolts, because they fired the rockets, and obviously
it's a lot of duct tape.
Yeah, I think it was mainly on the duct tape, and they fire in loads of water as well to keep it all cool. And from what I can see, it's carbon neutral, because the propellant is liquid hydrogen and oxygen. So good on them.
Oh, wow,
good on them. Carbon neutral. I can't imagine it's
eco rockets.
Can't imagine it's massively good for the environment. But yeah, that's what they did this week.
Well, that's really cool.
I think
I
it's
like pretty, that.
Yeah.
What do they do with the air that came out of the back of the rocket, though? They got to use it for something. I know it's a test, but you can still use that for something else if you're being green. Could you like dry laundry with it just really quickly?
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. Yeah, they dried
just get your clothes hanger and just like
very dry, burn to a crisp. Yeah, that's what they did.
Lovely.
What have you got? Anything else?
Yes, so another creepy... I love showing slightly creepy devices, smart devices that people can get. So Google have just announced that there's a new Nest Hub that you can purchase. It's for about $100, so probably £90 when it comes over to the UK. It's called the Google Nest Hub, and it's designed to be like your bedside table.
Like
alarm clock and display. But the creepy thing, or cool thing, depending on your stance on this, is it can track how well you sleep.
Ah, that is creepy.
It is quite creepy. So it'll use its cameras to sense when you're moving, when you're not moving. It will track the ambient light of the room to make a judgment on how well that might have affected your sleep.
That is creepy.
It says it can't track the difference between light sleep, deep sleep, and REM sleep, but it can pretty accurately say when you're sleeping and when you're not. So it can tell you how long you've slept and how restful you might be when you wake up, which personally, for someone that is fairly liberal with the devices I use, I've got an Amazon smart device in my house and I don't really mind too much about that. But having a camera watch me sleep is just a step beyond what I'm comfortable with, I think.
How many stars on the creepy scale?
I think that's at least 4.5 stars on the creepy scale.
Out of 5. Should we use the...
When I was doing research for the podcast earlier, I did see that you can buy robots that stroke
your face to sleep.
They're dancing robots, let's put them like that. And I'd say that's a 10 out of 10 on the creepy scale. But someone watching you sleep is pretty up.
Shall I play the creepy sleep jingle that we have on the soundboard?
Yes. Do I want to hear it? Ah, yes. That's the sound it plays as you go off to sleep.
Good night, sweet prince.
Chicka-chicka. Oh, man. Oh. I don't know who gave that voiceover, but that's a great one.
Yeah. All right. Well, final thing is, for some reason, somebody has made a Pokemon parody that is in a font. It's in a font. So let me just explain that. It's a game. It's a game that the programmer has put in a font. I don't really understand why or how, but I've had a quick play of it, and you know me, I can't help but be drawn to anything that's Pokemon related. And I had a quick play of it, and it is very satisfactory.
it is a game. Incredibly okay.
Yeah, I give it beige stars as to how good it is. But it genuinely is a game that's in a font. And if you go on their website, you can play it. And you basically just like keep pressing keys and then the story moves ahead one letter at a time. And then you pick your Pokemon and you pick it by pressing a letter and then you keep playing. It's it's all right. It's not bad. I mean, why someone would made a playable Pokemon parody in a font.
How do you use the font? Is it just in a text?
Yeah, so you can download it. It's an OTF, I think, which is an open font format, so you can just download it and install it on your computer.
So if I'm making a PowerPoint, I accidentally put it in that font,
use that font in Pokemon, then you can play Pokemon. Yeah, exactly that. Why, who knows?
Don't know. Why not?
But it's a little bit like those games that you can play in Excel, you know. There's like a Easter egg in Excel, isn't there, where if you can play Space Invaders or something.
So well, like the used to be able to play Snake in YouTube.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, things like
games
that
everywhere.
In real life Easter eggs. They're not in real life Easter eggs. They're just Easter eggs, aren't they?
Cool. That's everything I've seen this week. What about you?
That's everything I've seen this week. Yeah. Also, that's everything I've also seen this week.
The whole thing. It's just, yeah.
That's all I've seen. Yeah. That's what
I stayed inside and I looked at 4 news articles and that was it.
That was it. That's all I did this week.
It's a quiet week for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty quiet week. Anyway, that is all we have time for this tech roundup. We're going to be back with part 2 of Interneted right after this. Welcome back to Interneted, a show about tech, gadgets, and the internet. And it's now time for the part of the show where we take a brief trip to the Agony Uncles Detective Agency. Yes. We are the Agony Uncles, and this is our detective agency, solving crimes against tech since removable batteries were a thing. Oh.
What a time that was. Feels like a lifetime ago.
I know.
Any problems with your phone, just take the battery out and put it back in again. Probably fixed.
Problems with your laptop?
Wonderful.
Take the battery out, put it back in again.
It's all fine. Yeah. Having two batteries to extend your battery life. Crazy.
Anyway.
That hit a note with you.
It really did.
So we're back once again. We're ready to open our doors to solve troubling tech mishaps, misdemeanors, and cold cases sent in by helpless bystanders.
Yeah, we set this agency up because we're both those people who always get asked how to fix stuff. It's tough work, but somebody has to do it.
So, Michael, what is today's case?
Well, today's case comes from somebody in Dover, and his name is Name.
Martin from Dover.
Martin from Dover. No, actually.
Martin from Dover.
His name
Martin
is
from Dover. No.
His name's Jack. His name is Jack from Dover.
sorry, I misread that.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Listeners, we have to explain. We have this, Rob and I have this game, which is called the Name Game, where we just shout the word name at each other and you have to come up with a name straight away without thinking about it.
On the spot.
It
sounds very strange, and it is quite strange, but yeah. it puts you under a lot of pressure.
It does.
It's got to be a proper name. Martha. I was very close to saying Martin again, but you can't say the same name twice.
Anyway, Jack from Dover, and Jack also didn't send us he didn't send us an audio file, but we have Jacques here on the phone. Hello. Hello, Jacques.
I think he's hung up, actually.
I think he's here. Hello, Jacques.
Hi, Michael.
Bonjour, Jacques.
Doing?
Oh, you know what I expected. Bonjour, Jacques. Bonjour.
Bonjour, Michael. Well, I don't know why you're going French. Jacques's a very common English name, actually, as well.
So Jacques, how can we help you, Jacques?
Well, Michael, ma gueule, if you will.
There we go. Thank you. Keep going.
You want me to keep going? All right.
Yeah.
Well, ma gueule, I'm looking to get some new headphones. What do I need to look for?
Honestly, that was fantastic.
It's like we've moved over to Calais, right?
So good.
Can't believe you've got me to do two accents on this.
I know.
Already.
I know. As well.
And I said Yorkshire and you went for London.
I know.
It was awful.
I know. I'm sorry.
Such a wuss.
What we're talking about this week is getting a new pair of headphones. So what headphones should Jacques get? All right.
It's a good question. It's a personal area of a lot of interest. Anyone that knows me knows that I love spending probably too much money on audio equipment, from headphones to speakers to any of stuff like that. So
yeah,
love this stuff.
Okay, so where do we start? Should we talk about the types of headphones?
Yeah, that's probably a good place to start. So there's obviously different genres of headphone.
Yeah.
You've got depending on your needs, Jack. You know, if you've got small ears, big ears. You can buy different types of headphones for them. So the first one is in-ear headphones, or earbuds, if you will.
Yes.
So the little ones that you might get bundled with your phone, or you've probably just got an old pair knocking around somewhere in your house.
Yeah.
So they're not bad, but they're very, very dependent on the fit that you get in your ear. I know things like the Apple AirPods, they claim to be universal for everyone, but that's not necessarily the case. People have different shaped ears all the time, so they're not universal. So if you're looking for earbuds, you want to make sure that you try and get ones with different removable tips.
So you
can get different sizes. Most of them should come with that, but it just makes sure that you get the right seal around your ear, which then improves the quality of the music that you get out of it.
But earbuds are generally a bit rubbish at blocking out sound, aren't they? They're not that great, especially the ones
they're
you get
not good
kind of
yeah
the
they're not good
ones.
For if you're using them on a commute or something, I probably wouldn't necessarily recommend them. They're and they've also got what's called a fairly small sound stage, so if you've ever put on a really good pair of over-ear headphones, you'll hear that they sound quite wide and expansive, whereas in-ear headphones, because they just haven't got that space in them, they just sound quite directional and quite
And obviously, like,
the little
speaker inside it must be teeny tiny, so it probably can't.
Yeah, the sound, they're not bad. It depends on what you're using it for, obviously, and what your requirements are. But if you've got a limited budget, that's probably the way to go.
I thought I might just add, there is a subcategory of in-ear headphones, which are proper in-ear headphones, also known as in-ear monitors. So those are the ones that you'll see, like, on the X Factor or, you know, Glastonbury, that the artist's wearing. And they are like a whole other league of headphones. They are incredibly expensive. They are custom molded to your ears. They block out basically all the sound. And they usually have multiple, I think they're called drivers. So little speakers that all do different things. So you can have some that do bass and some that do a bit higher and some do a bit lower. And they are fantastic. They literally block out all the sound, but they're not that great for commuting because they would block out all the sound. So you'd probably get hit by a bus or something because you would step in front of her because literally you wouldn't be able to hear anything.
Or if you're on a train, you'd have no idea where you are. You'd just miss
you'd miss all of your, yeah. Everyone would be getting off the train. And you'd realise that you'd, you know, been terminated, whatever it was. you know, the train terminates here. Yeah.
I'll be back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Terminator comes onto the train.
The Terminator comes on, you won't hear.
But generally, yeah, earbuds are a bit rubbish, aren't they? Okay, so the next category is on-ear, which are kind of, they do what they say, they kind of sit on your ear, but not around your ear. So they're kind of, the size of a...
The diameter of a cucumber.
Of a cucumber is exactly right. And they sit on your ears, but they don't cover your whole ears.
So they go all the way around, yeah.
Block out your sound. So if you think like the kind of headsets you'd use in a call centre are like the classic on-ear headphones. Mm. They block out a little bit of sound, but they're not that good at that. But I guess they're a bit more comfortable, aren't they?
Because yeah, they're probably not bad. Again, it depends on like... I guess the pressure that they put on your ear, if they're really clamping down really hard, then that could be quite painful for extended sessions. But most of the time, they sit quite lightly on your ears and they just sort of rest there. And yeah, they're probably even worse than earbuds for blocking out sound because you don't get a very good seal with them. So
yeah,
they're not bad. Again, I think with all headphones, it depends on how much you spend on them. You know, there's really, really expensive on-ear headphones, which are probably much better. But in general, just because of the mechanics of it, on-ear headphones are quite... subjective for the listener.
And then finally, the kind of big daddy of headphones are the over-ear headphones. So these are the ones that are like the classic headphone look. You know, DJ's got a big pair of headphones on.
Yeah.
They block out pretty much sound as you possibly can get. They are pretty bulky. And the big disadvantage of those is that you can't just chuck them in your pocket because they sit on your ears. And
there's also the risk that you introduced me to that I'd never thought about until you told me about it.
Sorry.
Which is, if you're wearing one on the train, it'd be so easy for someone to just come up behind you and then just take them off your head. Ever since you've mentioned that to me, I'm now terrified that someone's going to nick my headphones off my head.
Do you know what? Same here. Because the headphones, you and I both have a pair of noise-cancelling headphones, which means that they are very, very good at blocking out sound. So, like we're talking about, if you've got in-ear headphones, you can't hear anything. It's a little bit similar to that. So sometimes when I'm going for a little lunchtime walk around the park, like, I have to kind of occasionally look behind me because I'm just like, I have no idea if somebody's like...
You just look incredibly shady as you're just constantly checking around you.
Exactly. Exactly. Is it there behind me?
But over-ear headphones are probably typically the best sound quality you'll get out of a headphone. As I mentioned before, it's got the wider sound stage. It'll have more space in it for the drivers that you mentioned earlier. So the larger the drivers, the better the sound quality. Generally speaking, you'll get more bass, more punchy sound out of it. But something you might want to consider is whether it's an open back or a closed back headphone. So a closed back headphone is probably the most common. It's where literally the back of the bit going over your ear is closed off. It's got a plastic or a metal covering over it so that no sound can escape. An open back headphone doesn't have that. It will sort of have a mesh on it and it lets the sound leak out from your headphones, which might sound horrible, and people on the same train as you, if they're commuting, probably will hate you for it. But if you're using them at home, they give you a really expansive sound. They're even more expansive than closed back over ear headphones.
It's so like the truest sound, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got their use cases. It'll make it sound like you're in the room that the music was recorded in if you've got an open back, which is cool.
So those are like the really expensive ones.
Those are really expensive, and you've got to be either really confident that you'll just accept the hate on a commuter train, or you just use them at home.
Yeah.
Either
plugged into a very expensive amp,
like a valve amp.
Proper
audiophile if you go for the open back headphones, for sure.
All right, so that's the type of headphones, the kind of model of headphones. And obviously, there are lots of different models around that. Should we talk a little bit about noise cancelling?
Oh, yes.
So
go on. You go for it.
No, you go. No, I'm just coughing now.
What a great excuse not to talk.
Yeah, sorry.
So noise cancelling is a feature that's been around for quite a while now, but it's not just good for people that commute. Noise cancelling, as you said, if you're going for a little walk, or actually just to improve the audio quality of your music as well, because it'll isolate the music, is definitely something that you want to try and get in your headphones as much as possible. Different headphones have different capabilities of noise cancelling, but how do they do it? They essentially play a tone that cancels out the lower frequencies.
Yeah, if you imagine like the frequency of it works really well on like constant frequencies. You think like road noise or the sound
of an engine on a plane, like low rumbles, constant rumbles.
On
like
an
that.
Aeroplane, it's like
air conditioning, all that sort of stuff.
It's like it switches off the aeroplane noise. It's incredible. But if you imagine like a wavelength is kind of going from, you know, imagine it's like a squiggly line. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of goes up and down, doesn't it? Like a squiggly line. That's the sound wave. What noise cancelling does is it basically plays into your ear the opposite of that wavelength that's coming through. And by making it an opposite, by kind of creating the opposite sound, it cancels it out. Very clever stuff.
Quite simple, but it
cancels it out. So it's just playing more tone into your ear, but your brain interprets it as it cancelling that noise out, which is very, very clever. And different headphone companies do it in different ways, and some are better than others. And as we talked about the over-ear, the ones that are over-ears are generally much better at it than the ones that aren't, because there's kind of it starts from a place of isolation, and then it kind of takes that sound out. Very, very good.
Yeah. So I'd say if you've got the choice between two headphones at the same price and one has noise cancelling and one doesn't, go for the noise cancelling.
Noise cancelling on planes was an absolute revolution to me. Like, it changed the experience. And commuting on a train and sitting in a noisy office. Remember those noisy offices? Oh, those are the days.
Oh,
sitting in a noisy office. Oh, honestly, they're so good. So noise cancelling, I can highly recommend. All right, the last thing, I guess, Absolutely. Is the type of connection.
Yeah, so nowadays, probably the most common connection is probably wireless headphones. You get Bluetooth connectivity between your device, your phone, or your TV, or whatever you're using, and your headphones, which isn't bad. And the different headphones have different technologies that they use to connect to your devices, and some are better than others. But generally speaking, you'll be fine with the Bluetooth connection. The only problem with that is that obviously you have to charge your headphones to make sure they'll work. Whereas the old traditional wired headphones, they're still around, and some phones still have headphone jacks, you can still use those. Obviously they don't require batteries to power, and they'll always be around. And they're still useful for a lot of things if you plug it into your laptop or...
And generally, actually, with wired connections, you'll get better sound quality. Mm. So if you're a proper audiophile, you'll still be connecting via wire because Bluetooth does degrade the quality. It compresses the audio.
It also causes a slight delay sometimes. Bluetooth connectivity. So if you're watching a video, there might be an ever so slight delay in terms of what you hear and what you see.
And I guess the other thing to consider is if you're looking for a pair of headphones that you can use at work, so for conference calls and the like, and you want them to be wireless, then some companies that make headphones that are good for kind of work calls. So Sennheiser are probably the best example of a company that does kind of consumer tech and work kind of tech. Mm-hmm. A lot of them will use proprietary connections, so not Bluetooth, but another wireless standard that means that it's a lot more reliable. You can go a bit of a further distance and there's less interference, so that's something else to consider. Bluetooth is good, but not, there are some examples where Bluetooth, like, it hasn't got that great range, maybe like 5 meters, 10 meters,
couple of meters. Yeah, you wouldn't want to go much further than that though. So if you're walking to one side of the room to the other, you might be okay, but if you're going between rooms, you're risking it.
Yeah, Bluetooth can fall down. All right, anything else we want to talk about for headphones?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered a lot there, but I think it just depends on what your use case is for the headphones. You know, if you're using it for commuting, or if you're using it for home use, or wherever it might be, there's all sorts of factors that go into buying the right headphones, but do your research.
And you should go and, once shops open again, you should go and try some headphones on. The in-ear ones are a little bit harder to try on, but the over-ear ones, go and listen to them. Go and find that song that you really like listening to, and listen to that same song or a couple of songs on different types of headphones. And yeah, go and listen to them and see which ones work best. But we should finish, Rob. We should talk about what headphones we have, because we can do personal recommendations.
Our age-old debate as to
affiliate link in the no, there's no affiliate links. So I have a pair of Bose QC35-2s, as recommended to me by my friend who is a sound engineer. And I'm not a sound engineer, but I thought if he's a sound engineer, if it's good enough for a sound engineer, then it's good enough for me. And I absolutely love these headphones. They are really, 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 really good. And I got them relatively good deal. What have you got?
Nice. So I didn't have a pair of noise cancelling headphones until I met you.
Yes.
I tried out yours and I thought, wow, these are cool. And then I did some research and found out there's a better pair made by Sony. So I have the Sony 1000 WMX3s, which are fantastic noise cancelling headphones. Universally ranked as probably the best. So, you know, you can take your pick, whatever you want. They're both pretty premium devices, though. I'd say they're probably the upper end of what you want.
But they're nowhere near as premium as the Apple.
That's true. Neither of us have tried them, but they've got cracking reviews. But
they have got very good reviews.
That's a whole other level.
About £200 more than ours. And actually, the ones that we've got, I think, are now older models. So they're probably relatively, you can get them up for a relatively reasonable amount now.
But they're fantastic. They're honestly, I think, one of my favourite purchases I've ever made in technology.
Yeah, likewise. I even put them on when it's like focus, even though I work at home in an office with nobody around generally. I sometimes put these on because it just the noise cancelling and the kind of the way it gets all encompassing sound just helps me to kind of drown anything out. So that's really good. So that's what I've got. I also have a pair of Apple headphones, because these Bluetooth headphones have got rubbish microphones for when you ever need to do a call. So I have got a pair of Apple headphones as well. As I'm sure you do have a pair of earbuds that you use for...
Yeah, just some little ones that you just throw on. Yeah.
But neither of us have got AirPods.
That's true. I did get my girlfriend a pair of AirPods, though, and she loves them. So, you know, different devices work for different people.
All right. So that is case closed, I think. Is that case closed?
I agree.
Yeah, all right.
Let's close it.
Let's close that case. Is that the case closed noise? I think it is. Right, it's now time for some retro tech. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the magnificent Museum of Retro Tech, a totally not made up museum where we've reserved the greatest gadgets and tech marvels for generations to come. Each week, one of us... No, that's your line, sir. I'm so sorry.
I just let you run with it.
I got so into it.
Love that intro. Ladies.
Ladies and gentlemen. Name.
Norris. Norris, there you go. I've just got Norris.
The old Norris.
each week, one of us will submit two items. However, we'll be adding one piece and one piece only to the illustrious collection.
Rob, where is the museum this week?
So this is quite a niche one.
I like niche museum locations.
Anyone out there that's ever been to the University of Exeter, no relation to me at all, definitely not. There's a building there which is a bit of a mystery. It's dubbed the Exeter University equivalent of the stairs in Harry Potter. You know how the stairs in Harry Potter always move and change their place and take you to different places. The Amory building in Exeter is very similar to that. You'll go in one door, go down a flight of stairs, and then you'll be on somehow the level above, or you'll go in the bottom entrance and then you go up two flights of stairs and you'll still be on the ground floor. It's built on a hill and it's very complicated. So good luck to anyone heading over there for the Museum of Retro Tech at the moment. It's quite a maze, but
you'll have no idea where it is.
You'll have no idea. No, that's fine. So this week I am the one in charge. I'm the big boss. So Michael,
you're
you've
the big
got,
boss.
I'm the big boss.
Yep.
You've got to impress me. I'm the curator, and I have, as you like to say, absolute authority. My word is final on all things over the next couple of minutes. So please welcome to my office. Take a seat.
Where is your office? Where are we?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Who knows?
We walked in one door and we'll probably never leave again. But
we've just
fine.
Found a room. We found an empty room, which has, Is it a bit like in The Sims where you like you know, like you put a SIM into a room and you delete the door and they can't get out. It's
yeah,
like that.
It's like that. You enter a door that no one else has ever been into ever, and
they've gone into the pool. They've gone into the pool and you've taken the stairs out to get out of the pool.
everyone's desperate to leave, but they can't. So what have you brought with me?
All right, brought to me. Well, I've brought you two things that aren't actually real, so that's good. So I've brought you two operating systems. Whoa, hold on. Don't go yet. Okay.
Wow.
These are genuinely cool things, fellow kids. Uh-huh. So I've bought you Windows XP. So I bought you the physical CD. Look at it. Look at it. I'm shining it. You know how it's got like the little... What did you call it? Like the little hologram on the front that reflects. It goes all
right in my eye.
Right in your eye. So I bought you Windows XP Service Pack 3. So Windows XP is arguably the most successful and popular operating system ever. And anyone listening to this who's over the age of 25 has probably at one point used Windows XP in their life. Even if you've never owned a computer, if you've been to an ATM, if you have ever gone and used one of those touchscreen devices,
library and a computer.
A
computer and a library.
A library and a computer and a computer and a library, yes. So Windows XP was first available in August 2001, and its final release was in April 2008. And the idea was that people would stop using it. But it keeps on being used, and its mainstream support ended in April 2014. And some derivatives of Windows XP ended support in 2019. So that is a staggering 18 years of use.
Old enough to drink that operating system.
Exactly. Wow. And there are 25.2 million devices still running Windows XP. Now, the reason why I'm submitting this, dear curator, is because Windows XP arguably revolutionized the home computer market. It followed really successful Windows 95 and Windows 98, but nothing really took the market a hold like Windows XP. It was new and innovative. It had a really colourful user interface. And after it was...
It had that iconic wallpaper as well, didn't it?
Yeah. Which was not a Photoshop wallpaper. It's not a Photoshop wallpaper. I once watched a YouTube video about it. It was a slow day, okay? and it was a really, really reliable platform. Do you remember netbooks? Do you remember those? Were they maybe 10 years ago? I mean, netbooks launched with Windows XP because it was such a lightweight,
It was really easy to run. Yeah.
One of my first jobs was using Windows XP when I used to work in a school doing IT support. I used to, you know, install Windows XP on hundreds of computers. So it has a place in my heart. And what followed was Windows Vista, which does not have a place in anyone's heart. So Windows XP is...
has a place in hell.
Windows XP is very, very popular and is still very, very popular to this day. So that's my first thing that I'd like to submit.
Brilliant. Thank you.
The second thing I'd like to submit is iOS, which is the operating system that is used on Apple devices.
Ooh, that's a sneaky one. That's sneaky. It's still kicking today, isn't it?
Still kicking today. So iOS was first available in 2007. Oh, let me just say, Windows XP was put on 500 million devices. So they sold 500 million copies of Windows XP. Anyway, iOS launched in June 2007 and is still supported to this day. We're now on iOS version 14.4, if you're up to date on your iPhone. and it was a real revolution, wasn't it? It was the first real operating system that had this kind of closed, what they call a walled garden operating system. So you could only install things that came from a approved app store, i.e. the Apple App Store. It was pioneered by Apple, and it really was the thing that kickstarted the smartphone revolution. You could say that iOS is the thing that kind of brought us to where we are today. If you think like Uber, you know, the home delivery apps, WhatsApp.
Basically invented the word app, didn't it?
None of this
until iPhone came out and iOS was up.
Yeah, arguably, you know, the world we live in today is powered by a lot of iOS apps. Granted, Android also exists, but iOS is really the kind of the platform that first brought this to public consciousness and is... You know, has been a massive deal. 2 billion iOS devices have been sold, as to September 2018. I'm sure more have been sold since then. I don't think they stopped selling them. But that is iOS. Do you have any questions, sir?
Questions? I mean...
I can try. I haven't got any answers, but I can...
I think iOS is a sneaky one because it is still being used today. But I completely agree with what you're saying. It was revolutionary when it came out at the time. The iPhone, the first iPhone itself, was an absolute marvel. And it was the pioneer for other smartphones, as much as I may not enjoy saying it. Apple did it first, and they did it really well. So hats off to iOS. But I think the one that I'm going to have to pick for the collection is Windows XP. Just from a user perspective, having used it myself, fantastic. I don't think I ever saw a single blue screen of death on Windows XP. I think I only saw that when I went over to Vista. so it was so reliable that a child could use it, and I was a child when I was using it. I think I learned most of my personal computer skills, and
me too.
My background came from Windows XP. Trial and error, just fiddling around and stuff on Windows XP. It was great. It was the era of Clippy on Word.
Of course, Clippy.
What a time. How did you not go with that as your headline feature?
And Windows Media Player.
Windows Media. And sitting there watching that funny graphic go around.
Oh, yeah. MSN Messenger. Don't forget MSN Messenger. We've talked about that before.
I think it's going to have to be Windows XP that goes in there, simply because I wouldn't want someone to look at our article in the museum and say, well, I'm using iOS at the moment.
You know what? That's very true. And I'm sorry for submitting it, but I thought it's really the only
I'll
thing that can
allow
help.
It. Okay. As a generous,
benevolent
curator, I'll allow it. But
very
I'm going to have to
curator.
Throw iOS.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
So, yes, I think that's it. Welcome to the collection Windows XP. I really wish we could play that sound of a Windows XP device turning on.
Hang on. Let me just. What about this?
Chicka chicka. Yeah, that's close. That's real close. Yeah. Oh man, that's never gonna die.
It's now that I've put it on the soundboard. I've got nothing else. I've just got that, so I can use that.
That's
for.
It.
So we'll just what I can try. I can maybe edit it out. So when you say that, it'll just be like da-da-da-da, rather than chicka chicka.
I'll just keep this whole thing in. I think that's even better.
Okay, fine. I'll keep it in. Yeah. All right.
Cool. So I think it's gonna be it. Welcome to the collection. And with that, I think it's Ta-da! Time.
That's the noise it would make, wouldn't it?
Oh, the successful.
Yeah. Ta-da! Yeah.
My brain just did the other one, which was the error message, which was dun dun. Thanks today for joining us for this episode of Interneted. We hope you enjoyed it. Interneted is hosted, produced, and written by Michael Bird and me, Rob Murgatroyd. If you've got any suggestions or you'd like to submit your questions to the Agony Uncles, you can send us a voice message on our website, anchor.fm/interneted. That's anchor.fm/interneted.
Yes, and we are releasing episodes every week. So to make sure you don't miss out on our next episode, make sure you hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to give us a what, Rob?
Oh, say it together, everyone. It's a cheeky five-star rating.
Yeah, that's right. I found the soundboard. Don't worry. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. And we hope to see you next week for the next episode of Interneted.
That's not how you say it, Michael. Interneted.
We hope to see you next week for the next episode of Interneted.
Nice.